This is the One Up Network Radio, and you're listening to One Up Yours, the podcast. It's Garnet Lee, your host, and I am so glad to be back, guys.
Garnet's back.
Yay!
Thank God. Yay. You know, it's really nice of you guys to dig it, but you know what the best part is? I totally love doing this show. This is like the best part of the job, totally. You know, people always ask you, like, what's the best part of the job? Like, when you do that, is it playing it? No, this right here, right now, this is the best part of the job.
Oh.
No, I mean, it's, whatever.
That's very sweet.
Anyway, so let's see. What are we
into
today?
How's your plane ride?
Oh, dude, don't even go there. You don't want to go to Shane, I had such a moment. So I went to Oklahoma, right? And I'm, like, flying back from Oklahoma, and I had, like, the worst redneck experience with these people.
Why do you talk to me when you say that?
Because you're from Kentucky, dude, obviously.
Because you would totally appreciate the fact
that. I probably would, yeah.
So, like, sitting in front of me is this elderly couple.
Wait, that was John opening a beer without talking.
That was a good time for a beer.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah, something like that.
Continue your story.
Anyway, it's a really dumb story, but suffice to say, there are still a lot of redneck freaking white trash people out there in the world, and they ride on airplanes.
I was gonna say, and they're finding a way onto planes.
Yeah.
Were you flying Southwest?
No, I was on United.
Wow.
I know. I was like, what the hell?
Is that the aircraft?
Someone
should
speak to the management.
Get this riffraff off my plane.
This elderly lady in the same sentence talks about how great it was that she had helped her church get more desegregated by having the folks over at the black church come down and sing on Sunday nights at supper. I wanted to, I got, dude, it was everything I could do not to strangle her. I was like, you racist. Oh, anyway.
Well, you know, you're
old
anyway.
Fucking Triff.
You people and your short-sighted regionalist views.
You people, dude.
I don't want to talk about it.
Anyway, God. That's why I didn't want to go into it, because it really, I was so mad. Suzanne was like, she's like, no, you cannot come across the chairs of these people. You'll go to federal prison.
The calming voice of reason.
Wow.
Suzanne.
Well, this is fun.
Well, so what are we doing?
So anyway, everybody say hey. So anyway, the crew's
all here.
The crew's here. Say hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
We have John Davison.
We have Luke Smith.
And we have Shane Bettenhausen.
You know, Luke Smith is kind of like, you know, I just realized that he's kind of like Sideshow Luke Smith.
Because he's all hairy.
He's very hairy.
He is kind of, he's kind of doing this hairy thing.
Luke Smith will be turning the astute beard into a very sexy porn mustache in the very near future.
don't hype it up yet.
And that thing is going to tickle good.
It's like walking back from the beast round the other day.
Well, you know, it helps us. We have a lot of fans in, like, the bear and the furry community.
God.
Look at him. I mean, that's an impressive set that he has right now. And when that turns into a handlebar...
Oh, don't worry, Skip. We're going to get to the rundown. We're just at the promo right now.
This is
the prelude
Skip's
to hell.
Skip's so anal. He's like, get with the program.
People are going to listen to this and wonder what it's about.
They're all tuning out right now.
Yeah,
I'm back in charge now, and we're going crazy balls out, all right?
You want your... What?
We know... It's officially summer now.
Balls
the
out?
Summer solstice was the other day, so yeah, it's fun in the summer. A little bit loose, crazy around here.
All right, so this is Friday, June 23rd, 2006. The One Up Yours rundown is like this. Intro is what you've been playing. We're going to do reader mail. We're going to talk about our pile of shame. Psychonauts, we've all actually started to play it now.
Yeah, a couple of people mentioned that we sort of shuffled uncomfortably instead at our feet last week. And
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, we didn't have many copies.
Not everyone had it.
I would say, yeah, that hasn't been very fair.
We weren't very prepared. You haven't played this week either, have you?
Dude, the WoW pack.
All right, we'll hammer him onto that in a minute. Second segment today, we've got Chris Reinhardt from Human Head. He's programmer and co-founder of them. They've just wrapped up Prey, and we got him up here in the studio. He talked with me and Luke for a little while this morning.
Does he talk about why the 360 demo is not ready yet?
They don't have... No, that was the first thing I asked them.
So hilarious.
I them all morning about it while they were here.
It's like, all Microsoft, right?
Yeah. It is, yeah. So, like, we're sitting here, and Marcy Ditter from 2K is, like, right there, and she's, like, banging on her BlackBerry, like, what the hell? They're like, what? She's like, we still don't know why it's not ready.
And then she asked me, she was like, if we find out why it's not ready and we tell you, will you not tell everyone? Like, Marcy,
then why would you tell us?
Have you worked with media before? Like, and Garnet's like, yeah, and looks at me like, you know, just like, yeah,
right. Just tell her and we'll get it on, right? Anyway, and then in the final group, we'll have our news segment. We got, man, Luke has been like in my office two times already this week, like with, oh, I can't wait to talk about this. So,
I'm so pissed.
So yeah, we got plenty to get rolling with. So, Luke. What you been playing instead of Psychonauts?
Why do you skip John? What John?
Because he looked like the first guy I need to go to. Plus, I would see if he could get him to spew beer while he was drinking.
Oh, okay.
No, I swallow.
Oh. Oh, dear.
Well, the wild
it's okay,
patch.
Okay, Skip, don't worry. It won't reflect on you at all.
It might spray on you, though.
Even if you are good friends. And yeah. Have dinner plans.
No more beer.
Anyway,
I've been playing World of Warcraft. The 1.1 patch came out this week. Yeah.
Wow.
Tell me all
about it. I wonder what that game is like.
So, yeah, that's absorbed too much of my time.
Let's move on.
And then last weekend, actually, I played a new game that I hadn't played in a long time. Called Real Life. Real Life Canoeing.
Ah. It's called, like, boss everybody around with a little whistle.
Does it come with a special controller?
Why did you take a whistle canoeing?
Here's the thing. I was in the car with Sam Kennedy, the EIC, and his wife drove me and Jason Bertrand out to canoe. So the four of us were, like, in one car. And I pulled out the canoe, and I was like, I'm prepared because I'm an Eagle Scout. And they taught you in Boy Scouts to make sure you had a whistle in case you got separated or needed to have people regroup. And Sam and Christine look at me. And you've seen Sam. Like, Sam's like this J. Crew, like, steps from the pages of J. Crew, and is like, walks around with his awesome, you know, expensive, hella expensive, tons of jeans. And he's like, why'd you... You're going to have cell phones. You can just call.
Sam was very unprepared.
So we de-automobile and walk down to the beach. And I'm like, how's that cell phone work? He's like, dude, no signal out here. Like, yeah, well, do you have a whistle?
No, but, like, he was whistling. He was, like, had different whistles that meant different things. He was, like, telling us to get back in the boats. Other canoers...
Wait. He had whistles that mean things?
Yeah, he had, like, two shorts and a long... Anyway, other canoers were laughing. Other canoers were laughing. You may not have seen it. They'd pass us and laugh.
Yeah, of course they did. If they obviously see no irony. There must be, like, people on planes from Oklahoma. But,
okay, next canoe trip, you're all coming. It's going to be fun. We should podcast live from the canoe.
It was the irony. It was the irony they were laughing at.
It was. So you've not actually played anything, is what you're saying, right?
More or less, that's what he's saying.
Yeah, canoeing.
Great, you're going to be a lot of good today.
All right, that's real helpful. So, Shane, what'd you play?
Well, the usual, Soul Calibur 3, Street Fighter Alpha 2. I've also been playing Guitar Hero 2, which I'm really, really bad at. Luckily, Skip is awesome at it, so I just watch him play it sometimes.
Yeah, the songs. 5 songs for an E3 demo, and they're all hard as hell.
You know what I was really impressed by, though? Like, when I first saw those songs, it's like, oh, I don't really know these, but they're really good for the guitar and bass. Like, the interplay between the guitar parts and the bass part is really impressive on all those songs.
I like Strutter because it has the rhythm guitar, which is really cool. So
I'm impressed.
Cool.
There you go. Good stuff.
John, what have you been up to?
I have been reviewing... what's it called?
What is it? It's memorable.
Memorable and awesome.
World Tour Soccer 2006 on the PSP.
Tell us all about that one, John.
Can US win a game there?
It's interesting, actually, because it's sort of the opposite of winning 11-9, which, you know, could be interpreted as, you know, not being very good. But it's all right. And a sort of a gateway soccer drug, it's all right. It doesn't try to be a simulation. It's very arcadey, and it's all challenge-based. And
How are the load times?
Awful.
As expected.
Not as bad as winning 11-9 was on PSP, but still pretty bad.
Wow.
Since I got my DS Lite, I can't put that thing down.
What are you playing on that?
Anything. I even played Pokemon Troze for a while the other day.
Today I tried Break 'em All, which I thought was a really funny name for a game. Break 'em All. It's like a breakout clone for DS.
Really?
Yeah, it's all right.
I'm just enamored with the DS right now.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Sorry, not to me. As sexy as it looks.
I'm just going to throw this out here. This is the wrong time, but I saw this great statistic yesterday. You know that in Japan, the DS has sold more units than PSP has sold in the entire world. Just put that out there.
Wow.
People say Japan don't matter. I think it might be wrong.
I'm not surprised, because while I was traveling, I took both of them with me. I mean, the PSP, I just don't understand. It's like I played 3 games on it.
And the DS Lite lasts forever on a charge.
Unless you put on the highest brightness, then the highest brightness eats it up. But it's so bright, you need to be in a cave or something.
Even my original...
I was listening to you, Garnet.
About what?
When you were talking and interrupted, I was listening.
Oh, it's all right, baby. It's all right.
What?
We already know there's no reason to even really go into it. We all know the PSP just doesn't work right now for games. I took Need for Speed with me. I'm like, okay, that's right. The nub doesn't work well for control. It's in the wrong spot. I took the X-Men 2 game with me. I'm like,
We don't hate PSP.
I don't hate PSP.
That wasn't great, was it?
Well,
it's a perfect home console port to the little screen.
Why would you play any home game on the PSP?
Exactly.
That's the question.
That's exactly it.
When there's a better version at home.
And then what was the third game I took? I was telling Skip Bob.
Loco Roco's out in Europe. It's cool.
Do you remember what the third game was that I took? I don't even remember what it was. It was so bad.
You're asking Skip
Virtual
what you
Tennis
on your trip?
Virtual Tennis, which was fun for five minutes.
Not so bad.
It was great while I was playing Virtual Tennis, but then like the create a character mode, it's so slow and painstaking that, like, in the 2-hour flight from Denver to Oklahoma City, I had not even played a game of tennis yet.
That doesn't surprise me.
Like,
no.
Yeah, because you have to do all these little mini games to build your guy up so he can play tennis. And
oh
so I'm playing
God.
Mini game after mini game after mini game. When the hell do I get to play
That's
some
cool.
tennis?
A bad
shit.
Yeah, I was going to say, yes. A bad design
total. Bullshit.
Oof. Good job, Sega. Nice.
Did play some Super Mario Brothers on my light.
I still don't have a copy.
It's fun on great for an airplane.
You know,
it was perfect. It totally burned out my battery. Just playing. It was awesome.
Skip hates that game.
I don't hate it.
He doesn't hate it. He's just not satisfied with it.
He says 7.
Really?
I say between a 7 and an 8.
Super Mario?
I think your expectations were out of whack.
Well, you gave it a 9.5, didn't you?
You gave it a 10.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Yeah, so what Skip's
like
hollering back
there. Wrong?
No, shoe score was wrong.
What Skip's hollering back there is that shoe gave it a 10. I wouldn't give it that high. You know, here's my thing is that one of the things I don't like is that if you, like, so say you pass level 3-1, if you die on 3-2, then when you come back to it, you have to go back through 3-1 again.
You know what I like about Super Mario?
I don't want to have to do that.
You know what's interesting about New Super Mario Brothers? It's, like, ubiquitous. It's like Halo. It is. It's like a game that, like...
I'm sorry, could you spell that for me?
I could. This isn't a spelling bee, but it is ubiquitous. And everybody's buying it. Everybody's playing it. It doesn't matter if Skip thinks it's a 7. It's, like, the best-selling game of all time. So...
There it is.
You're wrong, Skip.
It's not going anywhere.
I don't want it to go anywhere.
In other news, Thriller is the best record of all time.
Thriller's pretty good.
Followed closely by the Eagles' Greatest Hits.
Those are both good records, actually.
And Dark Side of the Moon.
Dark Side of the Moon.
Also up there.
Yeah. Frampton's got, that one collected
He's
a lot.
Playing
of really.
Up at the winery. We should go.
Have you seen him, man? He's like got all his hair cut off. He looks really bizarre.
Let's move on.
We really are drifting off topic today, aren't we?
It's all right.
When Frampton comes alive, dude, I felt like I was there.
I know. I guess we should talk about Psychonauts.
We should.
Since we've actually started.
Who'd like to start? Luke, why don't you start?
You know, actually, since we're hopefully, looks like we're going to get Tim Schafer to come in and have a full, like, Psychonauts discussion.
Totally looking forward to that.
When we're all said and done, I mean, we're not that far into it. I don't think we should, like, go too deep.
No. But I do think that...
Initial impressions.
That Luke... should talk about his experience with Psychonauts.
So Luke, how do you feel about the writing?
Yeah, what do you think of it? What's your initial
What's your favorite character at the
game? I was really glad that the instruction manual had a note.
Did you write some notes in there?
Yeah, play me. Play me soon.
Uh-huh.
Mm, maybe well, not, maybe I cut, mean, the, cut back on the WoW a little.
A real big, like, it's a, because I have to reset up my Xbox now.
And,
like,
that thing is big.
Wow, dude, he does Whiny Girl really
yeah,
well.
Yeah, and it, yeah, it's.
I have to set up my Xbox
it's hard.
Now.
And Damien's always using the big TV because it's his house.
I had to wash
TV.
My.
I was gonna play, but I had to wash my beard.
I think you actually trimmed that thing a little bit too.
No, I haven't.
No?
So you didn't play any Psychonauts?
No, I didn't play any Psychonauts.
All right, so Shane, did you get into it?
Fucking welcome to the club.
I have played Psychonauts.
But not in the last week.
Not in the last week. We're on deadline. We just finished.
Oh, hold on.
This weekend.
Oh, I have a deadline every day.
This weekend is all about Psychonauts and Radiohead.
Got it.
In that order.
Did you play any Psychonauts?
Yes, I did actually get
Should we talk about Psychonauts?
Yeah, I think
we
should. So I got my. I hooked my Xbox up. Wow. It was very
That's
challenging.
That's pretty hard, dude.
I plugged the cables.
How many cords did it have in the back that you have to connect?
I don't know. I lost count. There were so many.
Two cords.
Laugh it up.
There was cables everywhere, but eventually it started running.
You're not talking about the game either. You fucking no one. You motherfuckers played the shit and no one said anything about it.
All right, so you know what I really like? First thing I dug was that, like, when I pressed the start button, instead of having, like, a bunch of menus, I was running around on top of the brain.
I like that, too.
That was really cool. Because, like, the whole game is polished.
It's going to be in-depth of the first 30 seconds of the game.
That fucking menu screen is dope.
Yeah, it rocks, man.
the pile of shame names is getting more and more applicable.
And then when it said loading.
Does this computer over here have Warcraft installed?
No, it doesn't.
No,
how far have you gotten? Seriously.
About an hour in. Like, I played.
Did you finish the tutorial, the war level?
I finished the basic tutorial, but I haven't gone and done the advanced tutorial guy who's like.
Further than you.
Surprise. I played like an hour.
Just putting it up there.
But first impression is I want to talk about is that I liked that because it, like, is indicative to me of how much polish there is in, like, the whole experience of making it this cool, immersive thing. Like, not. You know, no synthetic crap. What were you doing to that bottle? Are you practicing?
Yeah, Luke, what are you doing, dude? That's
Don't you fucking try and pin that
Don't
me.
Don't deep-throat it.
As everyone looks at you as you start making queer noises on your Corona bottle. Like, God.
I looked over there. I couldn't tell if it was a long neck or not.
Skip looks despondent.
This isn't what he wanted out of this podcast.
Last week it was the intelligent discourse on the state of reviewing. And this week
dog shit.
Shane deep-throating a beer bottle.
No such thing.
He can take it far, though, kids.
Psychonauts!
So,
I think Tim would approve of this conversation.
Tim would approve. Yeah, I think so, actually. So, it's very cool that it's also packaged up, that they're very much into that whole experience, that the synthetic parts, like having menus and all that kind of stuff, is all keeping you in character. The other thing that I noticed right off the bat is how awesome it looks. And I'm not even running it like through the HDF feed on my TV. I'm actually just running it on S. And I'm looking at this game, I'm going, why did I need a next-gen console again? Because it looks fantastic.
Well, the art style is really interesting. I can't remember the name of the artist, but I mean, it is very distinctive. Like Rasputin's face and the way that the sort of the big heads and the weird. Some characters look better than others. I can't remember the names of all the characters. Like, I don't like the guy with the big red mop and the crazy teeth. I think it takes it a bit far.
The bully.
But the really stylized, kind of detailed face on a cartoon body, I think, is really interesting. But what I think is really interesting about this game that you don't see in many other places is they obviously sat down and really thought about the imagery and the metaphors that they want to get across. And there's the sort of brutally obvious stuff like the emotional baggage, which is like, you know, duh.
Obvious.
But then you get further into it and the way that it sort of messes with the environment and the things
subtle.
That are sort of little subtle points that you, this isn't a real world environment. This is in someone's mind. And the way that, like, I really love the thing in the tutorial. I mean, not to just dwell on the beginning of the game, but I loved when you walk into what you think is like a crashed plane, and it immediately turns into a plane that's in midair as you're jumping out of it. And those little transitions, they're quite cinematic and they're really cleverly done. And the further you go, the cleverer that stuff gets. And then it starts messing with the sound, like things that it does, or like, you know, with the effects and like sort of weird stereo effects on the extreme levels. And I think the
graphics are actually kind of inconsistent. Like, it doesn't start out looking that great, but some of the later levels that I've seen, like the Black Velvet, there's like a level that looks like Black Velvet paintings and look amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I think it looks very excellent. Not only does it look good, and not only is the art style really good, but this is a game where the polygon edges are not pronounced. There's no weird shimmering around them. There's no bad tears. There's no uncomfortable joins. You know, it's very, so you don't lose your immersion because of any problems in the scenery either. I like that.
The thing that's surprising about that game is I thought it would be weirder than it is. It's kind of a regular platformer. You're double jumping, you're collecting stuff. It's kind of like Mario. And like, that's on purpose. Like, Tim Schafer's a huge fan of Super Mario 64, and, you know, it's obvious. And it's good.
Right, because it even has the Mario jump and punch down, which is cool. And that's why I told Skip, you know, I was like, wow, I had no idea that this was just a regular platformer, because I'd heard, you know, all the talk about how cool it was, how imaginative it was, and I was like, oh, okay, so it's all that, but it's a platformer.
Right.
That was kind of cool. The music is awesome, by the way. The music is really good, too.
In that tutorial part.
At least, yeah. And I like, so like what John was talking about, the scapes, one of the things I thought was cool about the Mindscapes is that, so you're going through like that tutorial section, right? And I liked how it had like the little video screens that would come up with like with him talking to you, you know, and like you like really had this imagery. It very much felt like you were inside a, like a very Freudian kind of weird imagined landscape. It was really cool. Props to that. Great first impression.
When are we getting Tim in?
I told him in about 2 weeks. We'll figure it out, but it sounds like he's up for it and he's very excited. He's a cool guy. It's going to be fun.
So yeah, very positive first impression. I love style. I love style. I love story. Love all that stuff. So yeah, I'm very excited now.
I miss, there's a lot of stuff on the boards, people talking about it, which is great.
So yeah.
A lot of people that have had time to play it.
So, and so if you haven't started yet, you can play through it with me.
Play with Luke.
Great. All right. That was a real opener. So what do we got for reader mail, John?
What do we have? Well, question of the week last week was, what game would you like to see remade? Because we talked a little bit about that last week. Beige, as ever. Thank you, Beige, for a lengthy...
Well thought out response.
He mentioned ActRaiser as something that he would like to see remade.
Hmm.
I can see that. He also mentioned an old, very old text adventure. So this is you showing your age, Beige. A Mind Forever Voyaging.
Is that that was the Harlan Ellison one, isn't it?
I believe so. I did actually print out.
Sorry, it's an old guy thing. Yeah, I've read
some Harlan Ellison. He's old.
Very cool guy.
He is. Yeah, I never even heard of that text adventure. I know my text adventures. I know like Wishbringer, and I don't know this one.
It wasn't a. It was not an Infocom game, I believe. So what did he say? Let me read from his thing.
Obscure.
It was not. It definitely wasn't. So what are the games?
He liked the killer premise. So he was talking about how it was like playing a good book and the way that it just sort of messed with your perceptions and the story sort of altered over time. He'd also mentioned Paradroid, an old Commodore 64 game, which I really liked. But I guess a lot of people never really played over here. I think there was an NES
sounds kind
version.
Of Euro.
It was by the same guys that did Iridium, which was like a really famous shooter. This was sort of a more
the Bitmap Brothers or something.
Same era, but not that game. What else do we have? Lightbulb Socket thinks that Resident Evil 2 and 3 redone RE4 style.
I can see 2, 3. Yeah, maybe not
3. And then something that I definitely agree with. Sure, okay, suggested a remake of Grim Fandango.
You think it's already deserving?
Maybe just sort of zazzed up. And I think, I mean, he didn't really go into any detail.
We should ask him about that.
Yeah, I'm sort of projecting here, but I would like to see it brought out on, because it would lend itself to console play, I think, and updated a little. And
I think that world, those characters, that style, in like a new game with gameplay.
It was a little ahead
of
its time. It tried a lot of different ideas at once, yeah. And I think that scared people off, and I think people are more open to some of the concepts now.
So you guys already threw out some I probably missed. What games did you guys want remade?
Did we talk about any last week?
No, we didn't really talk about any. I think I beat on it already. Like, I really want to see a new Bionic Commando. Like, I really would like to see a new Bionic Commando.
There was some commentary on that. Some people said, why do Bionic Commando? It's already pretty much perfect.
It's obscure.
What would you say to that?
The majority of gamers don't even know what it is now, so it's new to 90% of gamers now. That's what I would say to that.
I would just quote what Shane said.
But apparently it's gotten pretty close to being done a few times. Capcom knows that people want it, but it's harder to do than you think.
So, you know, I kind of have to be a dick about this whole thing, is that, you know, I don't know about having all these remakes. I'd rather the people who can make quality games be concentrating on making us new experiences and let the old experiences just kind of have their place. And the industry is too young for us to worry about all these remakes. Why are we worried about remaking all this shit?
Remakes are like guaranteed money. So as a business model, like remaking stuff.
You take your
want.
Business thing and like push that on Business Week or whatever. This is games that we're talking about.
But the reality is that the business part of games is a huge part of it. It's critical.
Okay,
a lot of people had said that they didn't think stuff needed to be remade. So, I mean, there was a split. There was people that were like, absolutely not. I don't want to, you know, I don't want anything. And then other people were just full of great ideas.
The way I see it is I'd rather have a remake than a port. And if you're going to put something on PSP that's like a PS1 game, remake it.
You know what? So like one thing that just came to mind, though, that would be kind of cool. I wouldn't mind seeing what they could do with Out of This World. That could be kind of cool.
It would kind of handheld. I mean, that would be more a port, I guess, for a handheld. Yeah. I mean, if they remade it, they'd probably have to go 3D with it. Because I don't think anyone would really... I mean, who really has the guts to go hardcore 2D these days?
No one. On a platform
that's not handheld.
No, but I mean, if you're going to do it, so I guess that's the other question. If you're talking about like remaking games, are you talking about just reimaging them, or are you talking about totally reimagining them, like as a step forward into like a modern game?
I think we were kind of talking reimagining them. Killer Instinct came up from quite a few people.
Please, no.
No.
Killer Instinct is garbage.
Especially given Rare's track record lately, I can't imagine what they'd do to that.
And they'd make another terrible, shitty fighting game.
With furry creatures and pinatas.
With embarrassing character designs that look terrible.
I can see the big, bluey, furry, clawed gorilla thing.
That's Saberwolf.
Yeah.
Beloved character in Europe.
Swatting at pinatas. Very few people know about the Great Pinata Festival of London.
Let's be nice.
You don't know about that one?
I can't tell if we're being serious or not.
No, we're not.
So what other good stuff there that we have? Any other good stuff there? Or are we going to like head this thing out?
Master Blaster came up.
That's called Blaster Master.
Blaster Master. That game was all right.
They made a 3D reimagined sequel on PS1. Not so good.
Mm-hmm.
Let die.
River City Ransom.
You know what I'd like to see?
I've got one.
We're going to remake that one.
X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. Now.
Ooh. You know what?
Do it, bitches. Yeah.
You know, something tells me, Luke, your dream of another Star Wars space fighting game might... It's kind of crazy. They might make another Star Wars game.
But, like, could you tell me the one that they've done since that has the cockpit camera with, like, flight simulator elements mixed in?
Well, you know, no one's doing that anymore. That's that market has totally died. You know
what are those guys doing now, the Totally Games guys?
No clue.
Because they did that that kind of secret weapons update a few years ago.
And landed like a balloon.
And they've not really done anything since.
Because no one wants to play those flight sim, those light flight sims.
I remember liking Colony Wars on PS1.
Colony Wars was really good.
I really liked Colony
Wars. If you like that genre, Warhawk on the PS3.
Oh, my brain just locked up. But what was the one Polyphony did? Omega Boost. Oh, God, the game was awesome.
But that was more...
I know, I'm going a little bit of field. It was more mechy, like, out there.
Zone of the Enders.
Zone of the Enders, but it was really awesome.
Overrated.
Really? Did you play Omega Boost?
No, Zone of the Enders. Oh. I was thinking Zone of the Enders, too.
Yeah, totally. Whoa, did you just slam Zoe?
Yeah.
Wow, dude, you're nuts. Yeah. No, you're totally wrong on this.
You don't like Mario Brothers. Your opinion doesn't count.
Seven's a good score.
No, I don't like Zone of the Enders.
Why do you not like Zone of the Enders?
People always talk about how pretty it is, and maybe it could just be my PS2's different.
It was pretty at the time.
Your PS2 is different. You have the Microsoft version.
On my PS2, it sputters a lot. What, the frame rate sucks.
What Zone of the Enders 1 was the first good-looking PS2 game.
It was gorgeous.
It was gorgeous.
I didn't play the first one. I only played the second one.
It was very short, though.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff I remember really fondly is like really old stuff. Like, you know, Atari revisited Star Raiders a number of times, but never did it justice.
I thought Solaris was better than Star Raiders.
Right. And they kind of revisited it that way, and they also revisited it as, they remade it as the last Starfighter game.
Right.
Which they hardly did anything to. They changed some of the art, and that was it. But it was like, it had the potential. I'd like to see them go back and redo Elite properly.
Ooh, that would be awesome. Totally played the hell out of that game. If you want to play a game like that, what you should do is you should go to the Babylon 5 project and check out that game.
Nerd. That was a weird sound.
Yeah, it was. You know what game I want remade?
I'm just saying.
Zelda 2.
You get the PC to play it.
What? It's perfect.
I know. It's perfect, but nobody likes it.
What?
It's reviled, and it's awesome, and it deserves...
It's the king of Zelda.
Do we agree on something?
It's the crown jewel in Zelda's corset.
Do you and I agree on this?
Why did you point at your crotch when you said that?
Because I was doing the corset. The thing.
That's not what you wear a corset like.
Really?
He was thinking of a chastity belt.
Yeah, I was actually. That's what I was thinking of.
I think Skip is...
I'm getting the impression that Skip would like us to wrap this section up.
So if you're under 18 and don't know any of the games that we just talked about, listen to the next segment because it'll be interesting.
All right, yeah. So we're going to get into Prey with Chris Reinhardt. He's going to tell us a lot about, something else that they worked on that totally blew my mind when he was like, oh, yeah, we worked on this. And I was like, what? And, you know, after that, while we're walking out, he's like, dude, I didn't get a chance to tell you, but you know, the other game we worked on was Unreal 2. I'm like, you worked on Unreal 2 for a while? He's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, we worked on Unreal 2. So after we had worked on the game that you'll hear in a minute, and it's shameless, isn't it? It's like, we had Wall Walk in that game. We had Wall Walk in Unreal 2. And he's like, we got to Prey. We're like, God damn it. We're putting Wall Walk in this fucking game.
So it's there, but not on Xbox Live. So.
Yeah, hopefully it is by now. Is it there yet?
No.
Yeah, so hopefully by the time you're listening to this, you'll be able to play some Prey. If not, at least you'll be able to listen to Chris in just a minute, and we'll be back.
You're listening to 1UP Yours on the 1UP Radio Network.
One Up Network Radio is being brought to you by And One Streetball, the only authentic streetball game featuring the full roster of And One mixtape tour players. That's guys like Hot Sauce, Helicopter, and The Professor. It's available for PlayStation 2 and Xbox for $39.99 on Tuesday, June 6th at your favorite online and real world stores. And One Streetball is rated E10 for everyone 10 and up.
Listen to EGM Live to hear Electronic Gaming Monthly editors take you beyond the pages of the magazine.
Extended impressions of the hottest games.
Shocking celebrity guest stars.
Exterminate all land animals at will!
And the newest video game soundtracks.
That's EGM Live, available at egmlive.oneup.com or the iTunes Music Store.
All right, everyone, we're joined by Chris Reinhardt of Human Head, and these are the guys that had the balls to go out and, when no one else wanted to touch it, do Prey. That's amazing, dude. So, like, I haven't said it before. We've visited before. I got to tell you, that's, like, the most impressive part to me is that you walked into your studio that you helped co-found and said, hey, guys, guess what? We're going to do Prey.
Well, you know, it was pretty interesting. I mean, like, the kind of the history with that was we finished up Rune, and we were looking for our next project. And, I mean, we didn't know how Rune was going to sell or anything like that, so we didn't really have Rune 2 immediately on the horizon. And George at 3D Realms liked the game a lot, and so he was like, we should work on something. So we kind of bounced ideas around, and then he mentioned Prey. And honestly, our first reaction was like,
no way.
Whoa, is that thing still being secretly developed somewhere? I mean, yeah, because they never actually officially said, you know, it is dead. So we're like, we thought maybe, you know, it was secretly being developed somewhere, but no. So when they mentioned it, we're like, yeah, that actually sounds kind of interesting. You know, there's a lot of sci-fi things we wanted to do. So
get out and do something different.
Yeah.
Dude, still, it had to be pretty crazy when you walked into the studio. Come on. There had to be someone that looked at you like, what the hell were you drinking?
There were a few things like that. Yeah, there were. Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. But part of the thing also was, like, if you kind of look at my game history, too, like, at that time, I didn't work on anything that had any guns in it.
Oh,
so I really want to work on something with guns in it, because we had, like I said, a lot of ideas for sci-fi type of stuff.
But you're from Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
Well, of course, the guns. But it's Skip. You don't have a mic. You didn't bring a mic today. You can't talk.
Yeah, there's nothing to do there but drink and shoot guns and eat cheese, pretty much.
And root for the pack?
The pack. Go pack.
All right, so now you guys got it down to the end, and we've played it a bunch. Luke's played it, and he was, like, most concerned, so I'm going to let Luke, like, shoot some of his concerns about the game at you.
Yeah, sure. Well, I played the E3 build, and Garnet and I had, like, a little on-air dispute about it, because he'd played it earlier and really liked it. And I was really disappointed with the control scheme at the E3 build, and it was something I was really concerned with. It seemed more like a sensitivity and a tuning thing, and that mm-hmm. there was no real dead space in the controller. So has that sort of stuff been addressed as we get near final? Like, I haven't got to play the new build just yet.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's totally been addressed. I mean, you guys are Garnet came and was talking about that, about how the control scheme felt kind of weird at E3. And basically what we did is we kind of experimented with some stuff and tried some things that were a little bit different. But kind of when it boils down to it, you basically just need to emulate Halo 2, because, I mean, it's a great control scheme. It works well. Why not just, you know, basically take that whole scheme and then kind of map the other stuff that we have, like spirit walking on top of it. So it's been tweaked. I mean, you played it yesterday, so.
Oh, yeah. No, that's why I came back. So I came back and I told Luke, I'm like, dude, they got that part right. They got it fixed. I liked what you did with the, so I talked about this in the preview that went up, I guess, Thursday. trying to think, like, it's hard when you're on radio and you're like, when's this going to go up? Oh, yeah, so it went up on Thursday. I talked about, like, how you did the snap to the skeletal animation. I really liked that.
Mm-hmm.
How did you guys, when you were looking at, like, sticky aim for 360, we're talking about the 360 version right now. How do you determine, like, how much aim assist to give?
Well, actually, a lot of that stuff was actually done by Venom. So when they were kind of working on it, we basically said, we need the aim assist, we want it to kind of work like this. And they came back with a version where, like, oh, this is good, but it needs to be tweaked a little bit more. It was basically a little bit too generous, where you'd be shooting at a guy and you'd be kind of a little bit to the left or something like that, and it was snapping to him too much. So then they started experimenting with different things, and actually the idea for the bone-based stuff, so if you, like, shoot a guy near his head, it'll go to his head bone. If you shoot him near his shoulder, it'll go to his shoulder bone. That was actually their idea, so they started messing with it. And then basically the thing that we did on top of that was just kind of tune, given weapons, like, say, like the sniper rifle doesn't snap as much, you know, so you have to be a little bit more accurate with it. Or the grenades, they obviously shouldn't, you know, track towards a creature or anything like that. It should be just wherever you throw
it. You don't want homing grenades? Come on.
Actually, maybe in Prey 2, if we do Prey 2.
So what's it like developing a game that you guys invested so much in, but feeling like, I mean, there has to be some kind of feeling of detached. Venom's all the way over in the UK. You guys are developing the game here in the States, but then you're reliant on them. Is that hard? Is it hard to let your baby, you know, over to them?
It was a little bit difficult at first. I mean, we kind of looked at different teams to do the 360 version, but Venom kind of stood out as they didn't have a lot of 360 experience, but they had a lot of console experience. So they pretty much dove in, and I'm really happy with the job that they did. I think they did really good with it.
There's got to be a lot of back and forth on a day-to-day basis, though, right?
I mean, totally, yeah.
How do you do that?
There's a little bit of the time difference. So when you get in the morning, you know, you've got a ton of emails from them from the evening before. And basically just is like you just have to deal with that day of delay where you get something, you have to send something off to them, and then it's going to be another day before they get back to you. So a little bit of slow going at times and a little bit hectic kind of as we're kind of near the end of the project. So when we're trying to get, like, a new build from them, and actually another big thing that actually has been really useful is they don't have to send us, like, a full build every time. They can just send us, like, a little patch.
Oh, that's cool.
So we don't have to sit and download, you know, a 4-gig download every time in order to be able to check out the 360 version.
Makes sense. So do you guys actually get any time to play games anymore?
We're getting more to be able to play games, yeah. There was a time there. I mean, I've got a huge stack of stuff, like some games I didn't even want to touch until, like Oblivion, didn't want to touch that until I was done with Prey.
What else is on the Chris when I get a vacation list?
Well, man, I've got a huge stack of books.
Oh, God, really?
God. Yeah, well...
Jesus Christ. It's a video game show, man.
Don't make me leap over there. I've got to catch up on all of your podcasts.
There you go.
I don't know. That might not be worth the effort either.
You can actually, if you do that while reading, you'll fall asleep.
So we bribed you by getting you in here on the Guitar Hero. That was actually the bribe to pull Chris in, was to play some Guitar Hero. What'd you think of Guitar Hero 2?
Ah, fantastic. I really can't wait for it.
Is that what you guys play around the office too?
Yeah, oh, yeah, totally.
You also play some Sin, right?
We did check it out. Yeah.
Okay, so Sin does dynamic difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
You guys do dynamic difficulty.
Yep.
We were talking about that yesterday, how different the two are. So I thought that was pretty cool. Tell us, like, let's go back into that some.
Sure. Well, honestly, I really can't comment too much on their system. I haven't looked. You were talking about their debug stuff and all that, which sounds kind of cool. And I definitely want to check that out. But kind of the main thing is our dynamic difficulty, we just kind of, we structured it to be really
simple.
Hold on
a second. Tom Mustaine, he's probably listening because, you know, like, hey, hang on or whatever. So, Tom, hook Chris up with, like, a debug build and let him see what you guys are doing.
Yeah, that sounds cool. But yeah, basically, I mean, our system we just designed to be really, really ultra simple. I mean, because we wanted to just have it be a really kind of general system that would just be a really basic thing that would just kind of work, well, generically across the game. Whereas it sounds like they've got a lot of, like, little areas where they can tweak certain little things, which sounds pretty interesting. So I would kind of like to talk to them and kind of compare notes as to what we did.
It's cool because you're on different ends of the spectrum. Like, one of the things we were talking about is you don't have a thing at the beginning where the person selects difficulty.
Correct.
Because that lets you stay in control of the pacing. So when you were talking about pacing, what was important to you, like, in pacing Prey? How did you want the game? What kind of experience do you want the people to have when they're playing it?
Well, kind of depending on the person. I mean, we want some people to be a little bit more tense for them if they're, like, a better player. But obviously, if they're an easier player, we want it to be a little bit easier for them. And kind of in the global scheme of things, I think it's more important for more people to actually play through and finish the game. So I would almost think that the game might be tuned a little bit easier than kind of the average game, because I think it's more important for people to play through the entire experience.
Right, so this is the game you don't die in. You know you don't die in this game?
No.
Yeah, you don't die in this game.
What happens?
Actually, we decided to kind of get rid of the whole save crawl thing. So when you die, you go to this realm that we call Deathwalk. You've got a little mini game you play that takes like 15 seconds or so. Play that, and actually essentially what you do is you're like shooting these particular creatures. Depending upon which type you shoot, you'll get more health, you get more spirit, and that's actually how much health and spirit you have when you return, and it pops you right back right where you died. So it's actually been interesting from a design standpoint, because since we know that the player doesn't die and they always return, we always have to have certain things, like they always have to have ammo, because we've got, you know, certain shoot switches and stuff that you have to shoot, whereas in a conventional game, if you die, people are going to reload, so you can kind of guarantee that they just kind of reload a save. So we had to deal with that. We had to deal with, like, death pits, because when you come back from Deathwalk, you can't just come back at the bottom of the pits. So we've got, like, resurrection zones where you come back. Other things, like in boss battles, because you can also die in a boss battle and then come back. We decided to put the player kind of in a safe spot, so they kind of get stuck kind of in the corner or something like that. So it's not like they come right back in front of the boss and the boss smacks you back down.
All right.
That's really interesting.
It's really cool. It's going to be a tough thing to balance. I mean, that's like one of my big concerns is it going to be too easy, or is it going to feel like the game's being stretched, or is it going to actually work? I mean, I'm with you on the whole idea of I don't want to be pissed off and throwing my controller across the room. I'm sure. Totally down with that.
I want you to be like that.
Thanks.
I like that.
He sits outside my office. You don't sit outside my office. You'd be like, screw it, I don't care.
I like to hear
Skip
it,
got hit in the head. Oh, damn.
Yeah, Skip down. Send
again.
Help.
Yeah. Well, he sits outside Milky's office, and Milky's been known to hurl a controller or three.
I think I'm queen of the hissy fits.
You are queen of the hissy fits.
Definitely.
Do you have a queen of hissy fits around your office?
Without naming names, I know one guy. He likes to break controllers.
Yeah, yeah.
There was one time where it was like, I don't remember what game we were playing. But he was it was like Super Street Fighter or something like that. He was so mad. And he got so mad at the controller, he's like, I'm breaking this controller. And so he's like, bashing on the controller, and he couldn't break it. So he got more and more mad, and finally he just started bashing it until finally it broke. But it was so funny because he's like initially mad, and then like, when the thing wouldn't break.
That's awesome.
That only makes you angry when you're trying to break something, and that's something I deal with a lot every day, really.
Yeah.
You can't break it.
You break our system a lot. So you guys are done. Are you guys going to be playing Prey afterwards?
Certainly, yeah.
All right, definitely. So how are we going to find you online? Are we going to be able to find you online? Are you going to be on 360? You guys going to be on PC? You going to be on both?
Totally, yeah. Yeah. I think mainly we'll probably be on PC. We're a little bit more kind of PC-centric. But
hold on. We're being talked to by the PR folks there. Oh, ask him about the demo. There's a demo?
The demo is out now.
Oh, my gosh. Except on Xbox Live.
Yeah. And now we're getting way just frantically. We'll probably talk about it later in the news segment.
No, actually, so it's funny. I mean, I had to say something because I totally gave you all props. This is what's cool about
that's
PC developer.
That's the relationship I want, Pierre.
This is what's cool about a PC developer getting into console games is you guys know how to do demos, right? Your demo on Live has multiplayer in it, which is awesome. And like I was asking you about it yesterday, and you're like, well, dude, if the game's good enough to sell, people are going to love it because it's great, not because we held stuff back. So props to you for that. That's awesome.
Yeah, the only thing that I'm kind of disappointed about the 360 demo is a Microsoft rule is that you can't have save games in a demo.
Really?
And our demo is like, we wanted a big demo for people, so it's like 5 single player levels. And so, I mean, it's like an hour, you know, hour playtime for the average person, maybe 2 hours for some people.
Dude, so how much did you put in this demo?
That's probably maybe 20% of the game.
Wow.
It's a good chunk.
So that's awesome. So it's at 5 levels.
5 levels, yeah. Well, the two mandates that we had were 3D Realms always wants to start demos from the beginning. So when we were working on the game, like the whole time working on it, we always kept in mind the demo was going to be from the beginning to a certain point. And then we also wanted the demo to go up until Tommy gets his spirit powers.
Right.
And that's, you know, around like level 4 is actually when he gets his spirit powers first. So we had to have that level included, of course. And then we had to have the level after that when you get to actually kind of use your powers. So next thing you know, we've got like a big demo.
Well, I think it's awesome that you guys have the confidence in what you're putting out there to like put out enough that people will be able to play it and you know that they'll come back and play the rest of it because they'll want to play it. I mean, that's what 3D Realms pioneered with shareware, though. I mean, that's how they always did it. You know, give away a third and then get people to come buy the other 2/3.
Totally. And from, the demo just came out, so I've been reading some online response, and so far it's been really, really positive.
Yeah, were you checking out the responses?
I just checked out really quick this morning. I was at Shaq News. I was at Evil Avatar.
Oh, no, not Evil Avatar.
Oh, boy. Oh, that's it. End the show.
If those trolls
I'm
like
done.
It in good shape.
They do like it, actually.
Really?
They do. It's,
so
it's
they
been
saying?
Pretty positive.
What were they saying?
My favorite quote by far was one from Shaq News, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase. I don't remember it like word for word, but basically someone said, what was it? Basically, like I kneel before Human Head, our new overlords of first-person shooters.
Wow.
Wow.
That's pretty freaking awesome.
Or I accept Human Head, our new overlord of first-person shooters, yeah.
So yeah, does like that mean that you're the top of the overlords?
One of the top overlords, apparently, yeah.
Can you have can you have a series of overlords?
The overlord?
Yeah, it seems like an overlord kind of would be a singular.
Hey, look, we're not technical about it. You want to be an extra over overlord? Be over extra over overlord.
Maybe I'll put that on my business cards now. Overlord.
Is Reinhardt? Overlord of the first person shooter genre. Just ask Shaq News, right?
Yes, exactly.
That's awesome. Yeah. So, I don't know. Have you guys thought at all about what's next?
We definitely have thought about what's next.
Okay, so any hints you guys have done? So now you've done Norse mythology,
mm-hmm.
You've done Native American mythology. Obviously, you guys are into like the spirituality and the, you know, like something more interesting than you know the White Wall.
What about the Siddhartha game?
What's that?
The what you know the book? No, it's this Buddhist book. The room is quiet.
What type of game would you do? What do you think?
I have no idea. You guys are the developers.
Oh, he throws out an idea and he's got nothing back for it.
Yeah, you know, I just figured, you know, maybe some Buddhism would be cool.
Like the end result is enlightenment in some way or
yeah,
something?
That'd be awesome. No guns, just peace.
Maybe something like, wait, no, that's not Buddhism. I was going to say reincarnation, but...
That might
be interesting, a game. There you go. That ties into Deathwalk. That would be cool.
There you go.
So the point of the game is to die.
Wow, that would be pretty creepy. So obviously, if Prey does well, you guys will be looking at expansion packs and sequels. But like, just throw a couple of things that maybe have hit the wall, like when you guys were skyballing stuff.
Oh, man. Well, we kind of want to go back to Daikatana 2.
Whoa!
So, did you know that we were working on that, actually?
No!
We were totally, yeah. We were working on Daikatana 2 when we first started Human Head. I mean, we're really good friends with John Romero, and I like the guy. He's a really cool guy. And when we first left Raven, John was still working on Daikatana 1 at the time. And so we left, and we were talking about working with him on something, and then he mentioned that we could do Daikatana 2. We're like, sounds great. So we actually started development actually in Unreal. We still have concept art and stuff like that from Daikatana 2. I should scan it in and send it to you. If
dude,
you want to
send
see.
That to me. I will so get off of that. That's awesome. Okay, not only do you have the balls to go after Prey, but you did Daikatana 2. Wow.
Yeah.
He's like, guys are fearless. Totally fearless.
Yeah, we're like, bring it on. So, same type of thing, though. I mean, it you know, who knows? Maybe Daikatana 2 would have been similar to how Prey turned out.
Okay,
you know,
fair enough.
A lot of ideas there.
Any other original stuff, like, bouncing around out there?
Yeah, we definitely have a bunch of original ideas that we're kind of working on. I got to be kind of cagey
that's
about
cool,
it, you know.
Kind of cagey? Jesus. I got to not
okay.
answer your question.
To be honest, we're working on a Buddhist game right now.
Well played, Chris. Well played. Well played.
All right.
Well, I mean, like there's the big possibility for Prey 2.
Of course.
But, of course, it looks like Prey is doing well, so We're going to have to talk to 2K because apparently Human Head's price is going to start going up.
Oh.
I can relate.
Oh. Marcy's all like, what the hell? Like, dinner last night wasn't enough? God, I blew your budget already.
No, that dinner was fantastic. I mean, like really classy meals. Then we all have a Pabst Blue Ribbon sitting in front of us.
That was fantastic.
That was great.
You know what you guys should look into getting, though? If When Prey does do really well, you should look into getting what these other developers have at their office. Like, they have someone who hangs out, and it's their job to make sure everyone's happy. I'm serious. I'm not joking. It's like someone at the studio, their job is to, like, go around and make sure, like, you're having a good day. And, like, if you need something to make your day better, like a massage, they just set it up for you.
You volunteering?
No, I'm not doing that stuff. I don't rub other dudes. God. But
at least not without pay.
Make sure when you guys hit it big that you get one of those, like happiness coordinator or something.
That's a good idea. I like that.
Huh. All right, I think that's a pretty awesome place to leave it at. Who wouldn't want to leave it on a happiness coordinator, right?
I gave you a happy note to go out on.
That is awesome. Hey, dude, enjoy the rest of Chill and Pray off to the press while you're here. Hope people out there are enjoying the demos. You can get it at FileFront, which we have a link to off of 1UP.com. And, you know, hey, if you want to come over to the boards and give us some feedback, Chris will, we'll send it to Chris if he doesn't come and check it out himself.
Sounds good. I'll definitely jump on the boards. I'll check this stuff out. That'd be great.
All right. Thanks, guys, and we'll be out and back after this break.
Want to know what's new now? Then join Jim Lauterbach and Patrick Norton as they tackle the latest technology news. They'll keep you informed with their weekly What's New Now podcast. Just go to whatsnewnow.com and subscribe, or subscribe through iTunes.
Hello, and welcome to the 1UP Radio Network. If you know the name of the podcast you'd like to hear, press 1 now. You have selected Radio PM, starring the editors of the official U.S. PlayStation magazine. To download an episode at radiopm.1up.com, press 1 now. To listen to a promo, press 2 now. In a world ripped apart by war, only one magazine.
You're listening to 1UP Yours, part of the 1UP Radio Network.
All right, we're back, and I hope you enjoyed the Prey segment. Now we've got some news cooking. We've got so much to talk about this week, so I'm going to give it right over to Luke and let him grab it and go.
Sony, Grand Theft Auto? We don't need Grand Theft Auto.
It sounds like you.
We're Sony.
That does sound like him, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It sounds like me mixed with Sony. And that's what Jack Tretton said to the street this week, essentially.
What's he supposed to say?
Well, I mean, yeah, what's he supposed to say? That, like, he basically diminishes the importance in the story. He diminishes the importance of third-party support for the for PS3 by saying, there's no question that having the Grand Theft Auto franchise helped us a lot and helped us sell some units, but I don't think the battle would be any different with or without Grand Theft Auto. If you look at our first-party library and the franchises that we've brought to market over the course of PS2, we have a very formidable first-party library of exclusive software that'll help us. The days of locking up exclusive content from a third party and having that be key to your strategy is a really dangerous road to go down, because I think with the cost of development, not that many developers can afford to do exclusivity.
Dude, he's so full of shit. Like, hello, Madden.
Isn't this the story of Sony development, though, like biting the hands that feed you?
Isn't this the company that killed the Dreamcast by making sure that EA Sports didn't deliver a Madden on Dreamcast ever?
I think he's insane on this.
What the hell?
Like, GTA, I mean, it sold, you know, whatever you believe. It was
millions.
And when you have a game that sells millions, it's selling hardware.
Absolutely.
And to say that it's not important this time around, and that Heavenly Sword and Resistance and Warhawk are going to do the job for you, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but he is correct when he's, you know, trumpeting Sony's first party. Sony has an excellent first party with several, like probably 10 million selling franchises.
You're right,
where
that,
Microsoft has one.
That 989 Sports is pretty awesome.
So we all want to be Nintendo now?
When you can make as much money as Nintendo with your first party, maybe we do all want to be Nintendo now.
Right, but you don't sell as many units. I mean, like, you know, with your main console, maybe with your handheld, but with a game that costs $10-20 million.
Why are you guys dismissing sports? You're like, you're totally ignoring
sports. We're not dismissing sports, in this case, this is like, it's saying that, you know, one of the biggest franchises in the world is not a player.
I mean, he could have said, like, that's their decision, no comment. But, I mean, I think he kind of had to take the company line and spin it the way he did. I mean, obviously, he's wrong. Like, GTA is a big deal. It was a system seller, and now it won't be anymore for them.
Why do you think he needed to say that? Why do you think he needed to come out and say something silly rather than just be keeping it real?
I mean, all of his responses in this interview were kind of...
Because he wouldn't be a Sony executive if he didn't say something amazing.
Is. Sony executives are God's gift to people that run websites now. Thank you very much, Sony. Could you say something crazy on a Friday from now on because we want to push traffic through the weekend?
Yeah, he was very unchecked in his comments. He made other comments about Microsoft and...
Well, it gets even better this week from Sony with the Phil Harrison stuff that Patrick wrote up talking about how Sony would use the hard drive. And this is an example he presented in an interview.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
We were hoping we weren't going to do this.
There are a bunch of people at Sony right now who must be sitting around going, you know what, how do we stop like stuff like this from happening? Isn't that somebody's job to maybe rein these guys in?
Don't they have handlers?
Handlers and PR people that, you know, should maybe stop them saying dumb shit every 3 days.
Well, we should. This is the dumb shit that they said this week. Well, I'll give you an example. The producer of Gran Turismo would kill me for this. Imagine Gran Turismo shipping on a disc with one car and one track. And then you can browse online a dynamic circuit of vehicles that's growing every day because either the car manufacturers are adding new vehicles or we're adding new vehicles. And you can see a specific type car that's being called up and say, I think I'll play with that one. Let me download and play it.
You know what I want? You know
what?
He doesn't say you're going to spend money on it.
I know exactly where he's going. You know how World of Warcraft has that counter that tells you how many days you've been online? The PS3 is going to have a counter that tells you how much freaking money you've spent into their stupid online payment system.
If Gran Turismo 4 is a very, very cheap core product and everything then is micropayments, fine.
Right.
Then, you know, the game is... But it's not going to work like that because they're never going to give you a product on a DVD or a Blu-ray disc for that matter.
I hope he was just pulling that out of his ass because that's pretty dumb to ship with one car. I don't think that would actually help.
No. Look, I'm going to go back to what I saw at that PS3 conference at E3, which was Warhawk with money for weapons and basic fundamental pieces of the game.
He learned it from watching Oblivion.
Well,
you don't buy swords in Oblivion.
The Maroon's Razor is that the most recent thing. You do get a weapon at the end.
But you
of
do
it.
Buy an experience that leads to the weapon. I mean, you're not dropping $3 on a weapon.
I mean, like, if you don't think that buying weapons is going to afflict Xbox Live as well, I mean, it's coming. Like, it's coming.
Right.
That's
but the way for it to be palatable, though, is if you're going to do, like, something that is we get back into the microtransaction argument
just
again.
Wait, it's going
to
get worse.
It's
going
to get worse in a minute. But you can't charge a bunch for the product and then charge a bunch for all the bits that make the product work. You've got to do one or the other. And there is some stuff that is in development right now that will get announced over the summer, I think, where I think we're going to start seeing some experiences on PC where they're going to give you the core game and then start adding to it.
That's
the only way for this to work.
I'm starting to hate microtransactions in general. Just
dude,
like,
they're not. They're like
philosophically.
They're micro-rapements now. They're not micro-payments, man. It's like something new. Like this week, this rumor circulated, and the rumor came out of a Game Informer interview with Mizuguchi, so I'm using rumor very loosely. Like, it sounds pretty real. That he said that the Tetris, the Lumen, or not Tetris. Slip.
What Up Yours announces Tetris for. not happening.
That Lumina's, when it comes to Xbox Live later this summer, it's going to be $15 for like single player challenge mode. Mm-hmm. But then, like, to unlock the versus part of the Xbox Live game, you got to buy more.
Now, are you going to have to pay for additional music? Because I kind of understand that element that's been circulating. Because it's not just downloading music. You're downloading music with interactive elements that does require development.
Sure.
But to play it against somebody else?
To play Lumines against each other, we're going to probably both spend another $5 or $10.
Well, in the music, I mean, they showed the Madonna video, and I imagine that would cost at least like $1. I mean, that's Madonna. She gets some money out of that.
Right. You know? I mean, like, if you download the Madonna video on iTunes, it's $1.99, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, for music videos, it's like...
So, if it's $2 a song, plus
it has interactive stuff. But added functionality. I mean, what they're doing is...
They're making it cost what it costs on the PSP.
Right. You add it all together, and it's full price game.
And great. Thank you for the deals and the savings, dicks.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Milky's flying out to Japan to see Mizuguchi next week. We'll pass the message along.
Speaking of micro rapements, what about Graw, dude?
That's what we're getting to. Like, Graw today, yesterday, the announcement about the Graw pack coming out that has 8 revisited and relit multiplayer maps, which means...
The of them being relit that, is a big deal.
You know, that light bulb's worth like $3.
5 new guns. 4 new character customization faces, in case
just,
you weren't happy.
Just the faces?
Yeah. 2 new camo patterns.
Ooh, sweet. Mm.
2 all-new game types with 1 all-new game mode. That's Team Battle. Okay.
Wow. Has anyone ever done Team Battle? And, well, that's pretty radical.
And a continuation of the multiplayer co-op campaign with 4 all-new missions in Chapter 2.
Okay, that's cool.
Okay, that's the heart. That sort of is the heart of what they're getting at.
So is that 4 all-new missions?
So wait. Let's play the late-night television show. John, how much would you pay for that package?
$5.95?
Yeah, I think $5, $6.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah, you're going to be paying $15.
No, just, I'm not.
You just blew $65 on Graw. No, hey, $75.
No, John, what else are you going to play on Xbox 360?
I might play the Prey demo, which is free.
You're right.
The 5-map Prey demo.
I'm afraid that's not available yet.
5 levels and 2 multiplayer maps.
But the thing is, like, the microtransaction thing is getting really out of hand. Like,
yeah.
And I was talking with a friend of mine at Microsoft today, and I was like, dude, I'm about to write in my blog how you guys are fucking shit up over there. Like, you are ruining Xbox Live. You're turning it into a commercial whorehouse, and it's awful. And he's like, but we don't dictate the prices of the stuff the third parties do. Like, then you motherfuckers need to get off your asses and say, this is bullshit. You're fucking people over. Like, you are boning people, and you're going to alienate them to our service and our product.
What's worse is they're setting a really terrible precedent for Sony and Nintendo. They're like, oh, we can charge God knows how much for our shit.
We can rape these idiots. It's over.
So let's say, for an extension of the co-op campaign, which is 4 maps, so it's only in co-op mode. So it's only live gameplay.
Or are those new levels in existing
all
maps?
All new maps, right? And some relit environment, so some reimagined versions
of
existing
maps. It's like at night or at dusk or something, right?
So for the PC, an expansion pack is typically $20, $25, right? For something.
Oh, actually, how much is the add-on for Graw going to be skipped?
It's free.
The Graw add-on is free. 3
new maps.
3 new maps for PC.
Ooh. And a map editor, right? That's pretty cool.
That's a double standard.
I can create my own maps, huh? What the hell? This is horse shit.
So, not very consistent.
Where will you be playing Grodd? Not on my 360. I'll be playing it on the PC if I want to, because there's added functionality and awesome for free, as opposed to this bullshit pricing scheme that we're going to continue to see more of. And, like, it's going to get even worse than this. This is just the tip of the iceberg of crap.
Are those Perfect Dark Zero maps free that are out now, or do those cost money too?
No, they cost money.
No, they're on Xbox Live. They cost money.
So here's the deal. It's like they went into the candy store, got a bite, and they're like, oh, man, this shit tastes good. Let's grab the whole freaking bowl at once.
And let's grab it when we don't have awesome games.
Yeah.
So that we can piss people off before awesome games come out.
But it's funny. I mean, like, if it wasn't a download, That 360 pack, it wouldn't be. It's not enough for them to put out as a retail pack. So right. It is a halfway measure. Presumably, we'll get another one.
Yeah, this is chapter 2 of,
which implies there's a chapter 3 coming.
Like, Ghost Recon
is too many trips to the well.
Ghost Recon is not a game that I want to end up paying $90 for to have it be complete. It's just not.
You know what?
It's not a Halo.
This sucks.
Not a Ninja Gaiden. This is a dangerous precedent that games that are little more than, you know, above average games with people wearing launch goggles are being exploited because of it. And Microsoft, as an entity who wants to continue to contribute in this console and in the console war and do something productive, needs to put their foot down now before it gets out of control.
They do, because we don't want it to get screwed up, because what's going to hurt is it's going to hurt people doing, like, I'm sitting here looking at the guitars for Guitar Hero and thinking, you know what, they could screw it up for these guys, because that's where it could be cool, is to be able to go and buy songs that you wanted to that are worth something for a reasonable amount. But if these guys have ruined it by charging too much, by pissing people off, by under-delivering, no one's going
to
give a shit.
They need to set some guidelines for the pricing, because it is clearly all over the place. And, like, going back to Bethesda, who we always return to, by their own admission, they've been experimenting with the pricing. And just the Oblivion downloads are inconsistent. You get a little bit of content for a lot of money, or a lot of content for a lot of money, and we'll see what people can stomach. Now, Microsoft needs to say, okay, this price point needs to be at least this much stuff. And then if you want to charge $10, it's got to be, you know, substantially more. Because when you do have 20% of Prey coming down the pipe for free at the same time,
it makes it even more difficult for them to justify.
I feel sorry for Xbox 360 like people and fans because they're being exploited and they're being treated like guinea pigs. And like, first of all, you 9 months, no first party titles, inexcusable. And then like the third, it's stuff on the third parties to carry this system. And now they're screwing people with this crazy pricing on the downloadable content. It isn't like I feel sorry for Xbox 360 fans.
I think it's going to extend way further than that. I think that it's going to extend to in 5 months. It's going to be. I feel sorry for gamers because I think that Sony is going to.
It's a dangerous trend.
Sony's going to do the same thing, and I'm hoping that
Sony will totally.
I'm hoping that Nintendo will be sort of a ray of light.
Iwata talked about the pricing, and it sounded like $5 to $10 for games, and that's a lot better than $15 for four maps.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
So what's going to happen? I mean, like, you know, imagine how we're going to get reamed on Halo under this model. The stuff that we did get for Halo through Live for Halo 2. And the number of opportunities that have been to add to Halo.
Bungie were kind of cool about it, though. Maybe they'll be cool about it this time.
I don't think so. My buddy who works down at Retro, who I know is listening, because they actually share the podcast around there.
apparently EA in Vancouver, they listen to it up there.
Had this big argument.
How you doing?
Had this big argument with him because they've been talking about like episodic content, and he was actually theorizing about how awesome it would be with Halo to come out, you know, and it's like perfectly suited to the episodic format. Oh,
$20 for every level of Halo.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah, how would you like about that $20 for the library?
That'll be that more than the end of Halo 3 when Master Chief's gonna die. That will be the death of Halo to me.
Oh, I only got it out.
I can't even imagine. Like, if
it's like a little tear in his eye.
You'd kill yourself, right?
No, I will. It'll be a TV show. It'll be a program.
Should we explain our theory, seeing as we've started?
Yeah, no,
it'll be an ABC After Special.
We have this theory. It's entirely, like, we have absolutely no knowledge of this, but this is, like, speculation over lunch a few weeks ago that we think that, because we know pretty much for certain now that Halo 3 is the very end of the story, right? And anything that happens beyond this point is going to be filling in the gaps in the timeline between the novels and the anything else that comes along.
That's what we're being led to believe.
So the end of Halo 3 is the end of the story. So, the theory is, end of Halo, Master Chief dies. And the way that this happens is not through a battle, but where we think that they're going to put you as the player into the character of the Arbiter.
And make you kill him?
And make you kill Master Chief. And he's not going to fight back, because it's going to be linked in with Cortana and everything melting down, and the fate of the universe and everything is all down to making sure that Cortana no longer exists in Master Chief's head. So you're just going to have to stand there, and when you're ready, blow his head off.
Garnett, that must make you really sad, because he's such a well-realized character.
Yeah, Mario is really fucking multidimensional too, dick. God. There's a simpler controller en route for the Xbox 360, maybe.
Moving on to another news item.
That's not reactionary at all.
You know what's sad is, so the most popular shooters, it's just kind of like a quick take on Western shooters. The most popular Western shooters have the worst freaking characters. Gordon Freeman, yeah, I'll say it right now, Gordon Freeman, empty freaking sock.
That's intentional.
I was going to say, this is a design choice,
Gordon Freeman is so smart because he's a nerd, but he saves the world, and every nerd wants to save the
world.
I got bad news for you. It worked until they started adding Alex, and Alex has all his personality, and you want to interact with her, but now you're like, oh shit, I'm Gordon Freeman. I'm like,
I agree.
I'm like a freaking mute.
So do you think that now they should have done what they did with Grand Theft Auto and give Gordon, because like in GTA after 3, they started giving the main character a voice.
Personality.
Yes. And a personality. You think Gordon needs
absolutely.
To be.
I
think
absolutely.
That's why San Andreas was the most, you know, like in Vice City San Andreas, because there was more characters.
So
you relate to it,
right?
You know?
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, I think
can't
this
pull
idea of you are the character, if you're not given the option to interact the way that, like, Mass Effect is going to let you, then it needs to be surrogate, right?
Yeah,
exactly. And what's wrong with having a story where you're actually enjoying the characters in a story? I read books and watch movies and do those things to enjoy good stories.
I thought it was hilarious that Sean Elliott, who is, you know, 6 foot something of, you know, guy, was disappointed that there wasn't a hug button in episode 1.
Yeah.
Dude, that's because I'm telling you, Alex looks and you're like, I'd hit that.
And when I don't think that's the type of hug.
And when she's leaning against the wall and she's all upset and she puts her hand on the glass and it's
fantastic.
Do you want to go and just give her a big hug?
It's awesome. It
just
is
go
so
put her on
awesome.
All fours.
I don't think Gordon Freeman knew what to do.
Probably not.
He's 100% nerd.
With all the recycled crap from Half-Life 2 that they put in that game, Alex totally saves that game.
Yeah.
Controller.
Yeah, well, whatever. Alleged. Peter Moore was talking on Gamertag Radio, and he was like, "Shoulder buttons, triggers, analog sticks." I mean,
can I rephrase that for you? We're the only system that doesn't have a new control scheme. You better get on that. let's play catch up. Let's splinter our market further into several different segments where you have to buy several different pieces to get what everybody else has.
Maybe you can get that control with the mind thing.
Ooh, yeah. Nice. That'd be awesome.
But I don't think they need to dig around with a new controller.
They'll just splinter the market. Splinter your market further. Segments. Nobody has everything. Bad idea.
Yeah. Newsflash. The flying PS3 controller, not so fucking great.
No, it's a great idea.
Newsflash.
It's a great idea, Garnett. You're wrong. You are completely wrong. You are infinitely wrong.
Wow. All right. Yes.
We'll have the answer to that question in a couple of months when you're like going, God damn, I can't control this Warhawk game. This just sucks.
I hate it when people give me extra features. I wish they would take them all away.
Yeah, dude. I wish that my controller rumbled. I'm Sony. I mean, dude, I wish they'd give me extra features. Fuck yourself. They're like taking away the core feature of controllers.
There was a lawsuit.
Vibrating.
There's a lawsuit involved there.
Yeah, dude, the one that Sony owes $91 million.
Because you love Rumble so much and can't play a game without your motherfucking Rumble.
You're going to watch. You'll miss
because
it.
I'd rather be doing like jazzercise exercises playing Warhawk.
I mean, dude.
Honey, what are you doing with that controller?
I saw the video.
Oh, I'm playing Warhawk.
It was friggin' retarded.
I will be proven correct.
I bet you that when you tilt your controller in Metal Gear, it'll cock Snake's head or something. It'll be like a nod function.
When you got in a year's time, and you all said, "Yeah, you're right. I can't wait for it."
God,
don't hold your breath.
Bookmark this one. We'll be back in a year.
We'll be back.
Hey, so I want to talk more about Sony because their first party Blu-ray player has been delayed to late October. Sony's okay. They told me today. They're like
911. Quick, 911.
I sent you this story.
Yeah, you did. Thank you.
I sent you this story, and I said, don't worry, it's okay because Samsung's Smart Player already on the market, and Sony needs to save their Blu-ray drives for PS3. It makes sense.
He has a very good point.
It's a good point.
Yeah, absolutely. I said in the thing that it probably wasn't like a we can't get this to work thing.
No,
Let me ask Shane the same question I asked Luke. Luke, or Shane.
What? Wow.
Don't make that mistake again.
Seriously.
$600 for the top PS3.
Yep.
$1,000 for a standalone Blu-ray player.
Yes.
Think there'll be any difference?
Yeah, I think I'll buy the PS3.
Well, are you implying that perhaps the quality has been gimped?
I'm saying that actually
the
$400 gift.
I love that your argument is based upon like stupid speculation based in nothing. You know nothing about Blu-ray. Please don't talk to me about this.
Yeah, that's right. $400 is nothing. I'm basing on nothing. If $400 is nothing, I'll take $400.
You can tell me the bit rates. You can tell me the difference in the machine. You know nothing about what you're talking about, Granted. Don't bring this up if you're not willing to actually talk about
then,
it.
Okay, then
no one knows anything about it yet. As far
people
as
people do know about it,
I was looking online.
There are reviews of the player that's out already out and comparisons and everything.
Right, I understand that. And you know what? There's no reason to get into it right now because the problem is that the compression schema that was used on the Blu-ray discs is crap, and so it makes it a bad comparison. I'm saying that when this all gets mature, there has to be some difference there. Did you watch DVDs on your PS2 when it came out? The DVD playback sucked.
You know, I never did. Did you?
Yeah,
I did.
Sucked.
Yeah,
we it had bad artifacting.
They later made it a progressive scan DVD player, made it better. They right. revised
but still
it.
Was
I do,
never
I do
great.
Remember the interface was kind of sort of sloppy
as
well,
wasn't it? Let's not like judge something we haven't used, Garnett.
I'm not.
I asked the question hypothetically.
You hypothetically raised it to cause a stink and cause dispersion upon the PS3 is what you did.
I mean, like
Sony Defense Force is an action.
Sony Defense Force, the SDF are proud people.
What could warrant $400 difference?
If it came with a girl to give me head.
Well, you pay $400 for that?
If you get to keep it.
I'm sure Sony's standalone player will probably no longer be $1,000 now that it's coming out October 25th instead of now. It was going to be expensive because early adopters are willing to spend a lot of money. The first CD player was $1,000. I mean, like, things that are out early are always expensive. It's just the way it is.
All right, so suffice to say, my problem with it is that I'm still that big discrepancy makes me skeptical that the Blu-ray player that's in the PS3 will be a top quality Blu-ray player.
Don't fear, Garnett.
Dude, the Sony, first generation Sony's, of Blu-ray players aren't going to be top quality anyway.
Dude, don't worry. Sony's got your back, man. Right. Sony won't screw you.
Yeah.
We love you.
You were doing fine until you got to that end part. By the way,
I like that Shane.
How's that PS1000 you bought?
I like that Shane, executive editor of EGM, a multi-platform magazine, is speaking to you on behalf of Sony right now. That makes me feel really good. That's Electronic Gaming Monthly. Their podcast is available at egmlive.oneup.com.
As long as we're talking about first generation hardware, I really have a problem with that too because I bought a first generation PlayStation.
So did I.
Yeah, it burned up, sucked. I bought a first generation PlayStation 2. A little bit longer lived.
My first gen PS2 is still working.
Yeah, mine too.
I had to replace the entire drive in my PS1.
So I'm just, I mean, hey, you know, these prices on these things keep ratcheting up. I'd really not interested
I would suggest an extended service agreement from Electronic Boutique.
That's going to be the one time where they're like, did you want to get this? And you're like, yeah, hit me with that shit, motherfucker.
Seriously, when I used to work at EB, you used to work at EB, and I would be like, you want this on the PlayStation? This shit is going to be skipping in like 6 months.
So I would like to, just to be sort of fair to Sony in upcoming announcements and stuff. It does sound like the motherload of PS3 information is going to be at TGS this year.
I also heard. I like to tell the Sony people something. I heard US launch, some big surprises.
I'll tell you what I heard this week at a thing with people from companies that are involved.
Was that your support group?
Yeah. No. The guy I was talking to said that, and this, he works for Sony. He said that. Because I was asking him about this whole Assassin's Creed thing, because I'm still fascinated by that game and where it's going. And he said that, well, we're not really talking about it because we're giving the third parties a chance to make their own launch announcements. Mm-hmm. So that was the first time I'd heard Assassin's Creed mentioned with launch. So maybe instead of March 2007, we'll see it later this year.
That'd be really cool.
Which is entirely possible because the Prince of Persia team's been working on it for like 3 years, so...
That's the point at which all the Sony haters are like, oh, damn.
No, that's the point where they're like, awesome. Hey, I'm glad because it's coming to Xbox 360 the same day.
Oh. I'm in
timed exclusive?
No,
nope,
it's not.
I'm convinced that sort of come September, there's going to be a lot of stuff where we're like, oh, good, this is kind of what they needed to say a few months ago, but at least they've said it.
What I've been saying to everyone around the office, all these nervous Nellies, is like, on November 17th, you're going to be like, oh, I was wrong. Everyone's going to be like, I really wish I pre-order one. It's awesome. Shane, can I play yours? I'd be like, no, you can't. Garnett.
Well, you're kind of a prick, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
Kind of? Really? Is he trying to get an airborne out of the guy?
This is news to you? Those are expensive. $8 for airborne. I'm not giving those away. Oh, you want me to be sick? I'll lick your mouse. I already
What the fuck?
What? Skip has now handed me the stopwatch of doom and destruction.
He's actually stopped paying attention to the show.
He's like doodling over here. He's like doodling some marginalia.
So are we done? I mean, I'm kind of done.
I think we're done, except we're not done except for one thing. We need to give these folks
a question of the week.
One guy said, I don't know if we want to go with this or not. One question that they wished that we'd asked last week was, is there a Lester Bangs in journalism? Is there a writer who is...
Do you want people to talk about Tim Rogers on here? I don't think so.
No, we didn't. I think that was the unmentioned.
All right, this is already boring me. You lost me already. It can't be a good question.
Maybe you were playing with the watch.
Have we done downloadable content to death already?
Yeah, we have.
All right.
I feel bad.
We've never already pitched it out as a question. Like, I mean, maybe a threshold on price.
Like, what's the most you're willing to pay for?
I think we did that.
Oh.
This is bad, Skip. We can't remember what the hell we've done.
Maybe Skip has a question.
We have a few beers and we're lost.
Would you like us to talk about games next week? How about that?
Yes, all right, so the question this week is this. It's an open thread. We're posting it on the message board because we got to the end of the podcast. We didn't find anything that we wanted to come back to you. So,
you know, in a good idea, like, what interesting gaming-related topic have we never discussed that someone wants us to discuss, and the best one we'll talk about? How about that?
I like that idea.
No, that is a good one. It's just like
it could be something obscure, something interesting, something intellectual, something retarded.
Hey, Beige.
I bet Beige is being great.
Beige is already typing. He's like, oh, shit.
So, yeah, there you go. What about the winner of last week's? Are we talking about that?
Winner of last week's FLCL221, which is Fooly Cooly. All right.
You're so not with it, Garnett.
Is that Women's Anatomy or something?
You wouldn't even know.
Oh, okay.
Says you. Whatever. Give me a fucking break.
Anyway, awesome work on the images.
Which one was that? The one with the cool filter? That looked really
nice.
That
was the waking light.
Yeah, and when I first saw it, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But then by the end, it looked awesome.
Yeah, it was really well. It got polished up really nice. Yeah.
And the music stuff we're going to handle on the site, right?
We're still listening to them. Skip's played a bunch of them.
Anything inappropriate yet?
No, but we do have quite a few awesome content ones. I mean, like, there's one that has this killer bass line. Whose is that? Anyway, there's one that has this insanely cool bass line that's like...
I'd like to hear one in the spirit of the dearly departed Wesley Willis. I don't know if anybody out there can give me that, but I'd like that a lot.
And you know what I'm surprised? No one's really done any live instrumentation. It's all MIDI and stuff. I thought for sure someone out there would pick up a guitar and just shred, you know? We didn't have any shredders. Oh, well.
Maybe they just posted it now. while we're recording right now.
All right, so we'll have to go check it out.
Go check the internet.
At boards.oneup.com.
This has been an epic, episode.
This has been an epic episode. I'm so glad to be back. This is like the highlight of the week. So anyway, stopwatch off. We're out, and we'll see you next week.
This has been One Up Yours, a production of the Ziff Davis Game Group and part of the One Up Radio Network. One Up Yours is hosted by Garnet Lee and John Davison, produced by Andrew Pfister and Mike King, and is published every Friday afternoon at podcast.oneup.com and at the iTunes Music Store.
What's up? I'm not in the fucking credits.